ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालां पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात देशतारिण वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गधाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। हरे कृष्णा। We welcome all devotees to our Narsimha Chaturdashi festival. Today morning we will read from the prayers of Srila Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers he offers to Lord Narsimha Dev after Hiranyakashipu is killed. Hiranyakashipu will be killed in the evening because generally, you know, we observe that Narsimha Chaturdashi festival, we begin with the pastime and we are not able to complete the whole section, and the prayers always remain because just Hiranyakashipu gets killed and then by that time it's time is up. So we will begin with prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, and we will hear from Madan Gopal Prabhu in the evening about the pastime of Lord Narsimha Dev killing Hiranyakashipu. I want to thank Baldev Prabhu for giving me an opportunity to serve all of you and speak on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So this is the 9th chapter of the 7th canto and all the demigods, they try to come and appease Lord Narsimha Dev after he is killed. Hiranyakashipu is still roaring, is in great anger, and all the demigods put together are not able to pacify the Lord. The Lord is roaring And then Brahmaji sends little Prahlad in the front. And Prahlad comes in the front. And when Lord Narasimhadev sees him, all his anger goes away. And he embraces Prahlad, puts him on his lap. And Prahlad offers Lord Narasimhadev a garland. And then Prahlad begins to offer these beautiful prayers. So we'll try to chant as many prayers as possible. And I request Shatbhuj Prabhu to read the translation as soon as the translation comes. Shri Prahlad Vacha Brahmadaya Suragana Munayota Siddha Sattve Katana Gatayo Vachasam Pravahe Naraditum Purugune Radhuna Pipipro Kim toshtumar hati same hari rugra jate.
Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified."
So this is how Prahlad begins his prayers. Actually, Prahlad is not feeling, you know, he's done it. He has done what nobody else could do. Nobody else could pacify the Lord. And here is Prahlad. He has managed to pacify the Lord. And it is because of him that the Lord has appeared. And it's declared to everyone for all time to come that Prahlad is most dear to the Lord. What Brahmaji, Shiva, Lakshmiji, nobody could, even Lakshmiji could not dare to come in front of the Lord. So it's clear Prahlad is the best. But he is not feeling so. He is feeling very humble. And that's why in this prayer he is saying that Kim toshtum arhati same. How can I please you? Hari rugra jate. I am from such a low demoniac family. Generally, we are humble when we are humbled by material nature. For most of us, humiliation comes before humility. And generally when we fail, then if you are sincere, you become humble. But to be humble, sober, and to remember Krishna gratefully, especially during time of success, that requires great character. And Prahlad has this, and that's why you see, when Lord Narasimhadev is clearly showing how he is very pleased with him, Prahlad says, "My dear Lord, I am unqualified. I have no qualification to come in front of you." So Prahlad had this. That's why he is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. His most intense prayers are after the success. After the demon has been killed, the most intense prayers are there. Same thing with the Mother Kunti. When we read her prayers, you will see that she offers the most intense prayers after they have won the kingdom back. You know, the whole Mahabharat, the whole intrigue was the Kaurava Pandava, and then the kingdom had to be taken, and finally the Pandavas got it. And that's when you let your guard loose. When you get success, that's when we are not prayerful, and that's when Maya attacks us. When we are happy, we commit offenses towards others, we become proud. But Kunti's most intense and devotional prayers, which are immortalized in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, is after the success. Same thing with Prahlad Maharaj. Generally, if at all we offer intense prayers, we offer them before a crisis or during a crisis or before a tense event. You know? After the success, we are dancing, celebrating. Like, you know, when we go to some place, some far distant land, you know, we intensely chant Narsingh Arati in the train. before yatra, devotees had this experience. Intensely we chant. Because subconsciously we are afraid, you know, what will happen. And once we reach, do we chant Narasimha Aarti? We don't even remember Lord Narasimhadev. We are in our own world. We are happy we have reached the destination. But imagine somebody, on reaching the destination is happily chanting, gratefully chanting. We can get an idea of Prahlad Maharaj's consciousness. He's actually got success. He's actually, you know, Lord Narasimhadev is there. It's celebration. And he is offering his heart. So these are very beautiful prayers. And the purport is also very beautiful. Srila Prabhupada, he begins the purport by quoting how this is the mood of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada says, unless one is meek and humble, one cannot progress in devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj's first prayer is an expression of that meekness and humility. Srila Prabhupada quotes Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who compares himself, who condemns himself as worse than Jagai and Madai. Jagai Madai hoite mui se papishtha, puri shera kita hoite mui se lagishtha. So Prabhupada quotes Kaviraj Goswami, who says that I am worse than Jagai and Madai, I am worse than a worm in the stool. So basically the hallmark of a Vaishnava is he never glorifies himself, he always glorifies Krishna. And generally what happens in this world when we glorify ourselves? If we glorify ourselves, some of us have had experience in the past, we all will agree that when we try to glorify ourselves, the materialistic people to whom we are glorifying, it's not that they'll appreciate us. They just feel envious or insecure. Mostly they feel envious. And when we glorify ourselves in front of devotees, devotees feel sorry. He is so proud. So basically, the mood of Krishna consciousness devotee is always humble. Prabhupada quotes here also beautiful verse from Shikshashtakam. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So amani and manadena, these are two very important principles for us to help, which helps us chant Hare Krishna in the long run. Amani means not expecting respect, and manadena means offering respect to others. So humility, this is a container which helps us hold mercy. Mercy is there, for everyone has mercy actually. We all have got mercy. The fact that we have come to Krishna consciousness, we have got mercy of Krishna. It's all pervading, mercy is all pervading. But one who is able to appreciate it is able to access it. So this humility is the container. And you will see that Prahlad Maharaj is practicing these two principles. Amani, consistently you will see in all these prayers. We will try to cover as many as possible today. So in each prayer, in this whole prayer section, you will see consistently Prahlad is amani, not expecting respect. And manadena, glorifying other devotees. The spiritual master, Narad Muni, Brahmaji, the other demigods. So this is only when we do this, only when we have a culture or a habit or a practice of respecting others and not expecting respect, we can actually practice Krishna consciousness in the long run. And if you see Prahlad's prayers, he maintains humility in the beginning. Beginning you see in this prayer is very humble. In the middle also, there are almost 50 verses. Consistently humble. And the end also is very humble. Because we may not be able to come to the end, I'll just go to the end. It's interesting, after he completes his prayers, yeah. This is very, very inspiring, so I thought I will share. So after Prahlad Maharaj offers all his prayers, so now Narasimhadev is going to respond. See how what Narasimhadev says. He says, Prahlad, all good fortune upon you. I am very pleased with you. Now, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire. My dear Prahlad, you may live for a long time. So like that, Prahlad is, and he says, you are very fortunate. I am the only person, Lord is saying, I am the only person who can fulfill all desires of everyone. Ask. So now, Narasimhadev is asking Prahlad, you ask for a benediction. And the next chapter, Prahlad Maharaj begins this second innings of prayers. Again he starts offering beautiful prayers. And here what he says, my dear Lord, please don't tempt me. I am already materially attached. And am afraid of material life. So now you please don't give me material benedictions. I don't want. Then finally he says, my dear Lord, if a devotee asks for material benefit from the Lord, then he is not actually a pure devotee. And if a master also gives material benedictions to his servant in exchange of to maintain his position, then he is also not a pure master. My relationship with you is that of a servant and you are my eternal master. I don't want to have a business dealing with you. I don't want to have a merchant relationship with you. So please don't give me any benediction. I don't want any benedictions. Then he says, Aham tvakamas tvadbhaktas tvamcha swami anapashraya jnanate evayor artho raja sevakayor iva. You are Raja, I am your Sevak. And if at all you want to give me a benediction, my dear Lord, Yadi dasyasi me kaman varamstvam varadarshabha kamanam hridyasam roham bhavatastu vrine varam. If at all you want to give me a benediction, I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart, let there be no material desires. This is his prayers. But then Lord Narasimhadev replies again, second time. Now Lord Narasimhadev is going to reply. He says, Prahlad Maharaj says many more things. And then finally Lord Narasimhadev is saying that, I order you to enjoy. This is interesting. Lord is ordering him, you enjoy the opulences in the material world till the end of Manu's reign. For all of us, the Lord has to beg us, don't enjoy sense gratification. So Lord says, it does not matter you are in the material world. You will always remember me. You will always be absorbed in thoughts of me. Bhogena punyam kushalena papam. That you will not get any reactions and then finally you will come back to the spiritual world. So one whoever remembers your activities will become free from all reactions of material activities like that. So then when Lord is ordering him, then Prahlad also begins his third. Now he is going to offer prayer for the third time. So like this, beautiful exchanges between Lord Narasimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So in his third now prayers, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, my dear Lord, if at all you want to offer prayer, blessings to me, I beg you that please forgive my father. He had blasphemed you. But please excuse him from all his sinful activities. So this is, excellent example of forgiveness and compassion. His father had committed so much of atrocities against Prahlad. And only once, there is a mention how Hiranyakashipu kept Prahlad on his lap, smelt his head and embraced him. And he had a drop of tear of affection in his eyes. Prahlad noted that. And that was the qualification of Hiranyakashipu. To get, Prahlad Maharaj is telling Lord that please forgive him. So full atrocities and Hiranyakashipu has done only bad things. But Prahlad chooses to remember the one gesture of affection. For many of us in this world, we see that devotees generally are very kind to us. They are very nice to us all the time. And sometimes, because of the nature of this material world, some friction or something bad happens, some devotee says something. That only we remember. All the other things we forget. We can take inspiration from Prahlad Maharaj. He chooses to remember only the good thing. So when Lord Narasimhadev hears that Prahlad is offering a prayer for his father to be excused, Narasimhadev says, my dear Prahlad, what to speak of your father? 21 generations will be liberated. So like this. Then what happens? Then it is interesting. After these prayers, then Lord Narasimhadev turns to all the demigods. He starts chastising them. He says, basically he is angry with them. So he tells Brahmaji, my dear Brahma, I warn you. Just like it is dangerous to feed milk to a snake, it is dangerous to give benedictions to demons. I warn you, never give benedictions like this. So then he goes. So you see, we'll now read different prayers. Prahlad is constantly glorifying Brahmaji. Even in the first prayer, he's saying what? Brahmadayo Suragana. Brahmaji is a great devotee of you. And in the middle also, many prayers he glorifies Brahma. And now in the end, when Lord Narasimhadev chastises Brahma and he disappears, then what does Prahlad do immediately? తథా సంపూజ్య శిరసా వవందే పరమేష్ఠినం భవం ప్రజాపతిం దేవాం ప్రహ్లాదో భగవత్ కళా. ఇమీడియట్లీ ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ దండవత్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ టు బ్రహ్మాజీ. ఈస్ ఫుల్ ప్రోస్ట్రేటెడ్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. ఆల్ దో బ్రహ్మాజీ హాస్ బిన్ జస్ట్ నాట్ చాస్టైజ్డ్ బై నరసింహదేవ్, బట్ ప్రహ్లాద్ ఈజ్ టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ పరంపర బ్రహ్మాజీ. అండ్ ఈ సేస్ అండ్ ఈ టేక్స్ అండ్ ఈ ఆఫర్స్ హిస్ ప్రేయర్స్ టు బ్రహ్మాజీ. So you see, consistently is maintaining this mood, always humble, prayerful. For most sincere devotees, initially we are humble, and then after some time, somewhere, something goes wrong, and then again, because a devotee is sincere, he again becomes humble, because he is humbled. So beginning humble, end humble, beech mein thoda struggle. Like they say, you know, when you are born, everybody loves you. When you die also, everybody appreciates you. In between, you have to manage. That's the world. Similarly, you know, in the beginning, you are humble. In the end also, devotees, when they are humbled. But in between, there is a struggle. But for pure devotees, like Kaviraj Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, beginning, middle and end, always humble. Always consistently, they practice humility. Kaviraj Goswami, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, he begins Adi Lila by saying, "Oh my readers, please read Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur." He is the actual Vedavyas. So in a book, in his book, he is telling his readers, you read that book. So then you may say, in the beginning, you know, some people may do it as formality, but in the middle also, I was reading Madhya Leela recently. So Madhavendra Puri's pastime also begins, Kaviraj Goswami is reminding his readers what he has told them in the Adi Leela. This is Madhya Leela 4th chapter, he says. So my dear readers, you know, actually you should read Vrindavan Das Thakur's book. He is Adivyas. So then he says, I don't want to commit offenses to him. And then in the end also, the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita also, he says, I am simply taking Maha, the remnants of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So consistently taking a low position, Amani and Manadena. So like this, this is the mood of a devotee. And when the Lord wants to glorify, nobody can stop. Madhavendra Puri didn't want any glorification. He was humble. Kaviraj Goswami didn't want. But the Lord, when the Lord wants to glorify you, then you can't do anything. Madhavendra Puri was running away from glorification. Pratishtara bhaye puri gela palana, pratishta chale sange gadana. He was trying to run away from pratishta, but pratishta ran behind him. If the Lord desires. So devotee is very humble. Our Jagannath Prabhu was giving a nice example once. How Loknath Goswami didn't take any disciples because he was saying, he was thinking himself unqualified. He said, I will not take any disciple. He had taken a vow, but Narottam Das Thakur's humility touched his heart, and Narottam Das Thakur begged him. And finally the one disciple that Narottam Das Thakur made was, Loknath Goswami made was, he accepted was Narottam Das Thakur, was the only disciple Loknath Goswami had. And why he didn't take any disciples? Because he didn't want any name, fame, he didn't want any honor. But if Krishna wants to glorify, then what Krishna did, what did Narottam Das Thakur do? He wrote bhajans. And one bhajan he wrote, which we sing every day morning, Shri Guru Charana Padma. And that last stanza is, Lokanath Lokera Jivana. So every day, for the next 10,000 years, in all ISKCON temples, Loknath Goswami is glorified. Although he didn't want any glorification. Jagannath Prabhu was giving this very amazing analysis, understanding of how a devotee doesn't want anything, but even Krishna wants to glorify, he brings out his glory. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us the understanding a devotee has of always being in the background. Our Yugathar Prabhu, he says very nice, you know, it very graphically explains how devotees have to be conscientious about being humble always, not just in the beginning days. He says when he calls up his hospital, he comes to know whether the receptionist is new or veteran, senior. He says when he calls up the hospital, the receptionist says, hello, this is KM Hospital, how can I serve you? So you know that there's a new receptionist. So he says, after some, and when sometimes we call up and the receptionist says, hello KM. So you know that he's a seasoned person. And then he says, I know he's the most senior receptionist when I call up and the response from the other end is, kya hai? What do you, So he said, I know that he's become very, very senior. Sometimes we are very humble. Prabhu, please bless me. I'm in Maya. I want your mercy. But Prahlad Maharaj is in this mood always, not that in the initial days only. So now let's see what further prayers. Beautiful prayers are there. This is the first prayer. And now, although he has said, I am unqualified, I am Brahmaji's great devotee, all demigods are wonderful, and I am from a low-born family. But at the see, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, this beauty is there. He is expressing his disqualification, but he also simultaneously is celebrating Lord's mercy. So bhakti is not a depressing process, you know. I am fallen, but also Krishna is wonderful. So what is Krishna's glory that he is revealing in the next verse? Manyedanabhijana rupa tapashrutaujas. Teja prabhava balapaurusha buddhi yoga. Naradanaya ibhavanti parasya punso. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuta paya.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him.
So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us how the devotee is meditating on his disqualification. At the same time, he feels that Lord is most wonderful. He can reciprocate with anyone. Asha Baddha, he is hoping against hope. So this is both are there. Both emotions are there. This is important because generally in the name of humility, a person may be very depressed. I am fallen, I am unqualified. At the same time, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am unqualified. At the same time, Krishna is so wonderful that he doesn't care for your material qualification. Dhana, Abhijana, Rupa, your wealth, your beauty, your sensory powers, nothing Krishna cares. Only cares for bhakti. So this is a very nice meditation also, that we can always feel hopeful in bhakti. We can never be so fallen that we cannot turn to Krishna. This is a very important point. Like one devotee gave a nice example. He said, Hitler, very cruel, killed 6 million Jews. But this is a nice observation this devotee made. He said, Hitler, his mother must have surely loved him. Osama bin Laden, terrorist. But his mother must have loved him. So this devotee was sharing his realization that, you know, you are not as fallen as Hitler or Osama bin Laden. And Krishna is definitely much, much more loving than a mother of this material world. So if a terrorist of this world, his mother can love him, why will Krishna, the most compassionate, why will he not love you? So a devotee has to feel loved also in Krishna consciousness. That's different between humility and depression is, humility, although a devotee feels he's fallen, he also feels loved by Krishna. He feels connected to Krishna. So that's why it's important, you know, we can see from these examples that Prahlad Maharaj is, he is glorifying Gajendra. Vyadasya ka charan dhruvasya chavayo vidyam gajendrasya ka kubjayam kim namna rupam adhikam sudamno kim tadhanam vamsha ko vidurasya yadavapate ugrasya kim paurusham Bhaktir tushyati kevalam nachaganir Bhaktir priya madhavam. Srila Rupa Goswami gives nice example. He says, sometimes people may say that Krishna is attracted only by if you are very cultured, sophisticated. No. Vyadasya ka charan. What was the culture of Mrigari, the hunter? He had no culture, but he got mercy. Dhruvasya chavayo. Some people may say one has to be grown up and mature to get mercy of the Lord. But what was Dhruva's age? And some people may say, oh, one has to be educated, intelligent, know many verses. But vidyam gajendrasya ka, what knowledge did Gajendra have? Somebody may say, one has to be beautiful to attract Krishna. So in the next line he is saying, kubja yam kim namna rupam adhikam. What beauty did kubja have? And somebody may say, oh, Krishna means money, paise wale, Hare Krishna. But sudamno kim tad dhanam, what wealth did Sudama have? Somebody may say, one has to be from a nice, aristocratic, cultured family to attract Krishna's mercy. One has to be Brahmin or Marwadi, you know, people say like that. No. Vamsha ko vidurasya yadavapati. Vidura, what was his vamsha? He was, as Duryodhan accused him, hurled abuses at him by saying he was son of a kept mistress. But Vidura was most dear to Krishna, so much so that Krishna, when ending his pastimes, he remembered Vidura. And somebody may say, one has to have physical prowess. Ugrasya kim paurusham. Ugrasya didn't have any prowess. He was old. And when Krishna killed Kamsa, he handed over the whole kingdom to Ugrasya. Bhaktir tushyati kevalam nachaganer bhaktir priya madhavam. So Madhava, Krishna is pleased by bhakti, not by any material qualification. This is what Prahlad is echoing in this prayer also. That although I am unqualified, but I am hopeful, I am happy. It is a cause for celebration because Krishna is attracted by bhakti. And the next verse is the same mood Prahlad Maharaj is revealing. Vipra dvishad gunayuta daravinda nabha. Pada ravinda vimukat svapacham varishtham. Manye tadarpita mano vachane hitartha. Pranam punati sakulam natubhuri mana.
If a Brahman has 12 of the Brahmanical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahman because the devotee can purify his whole family. Whereas the so-called Brahman, in a position of false prestige, cannot purify even himself.
Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapa Aprana Seva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Sanatana Goswami explains that if one is not actually cultivating bhakti, Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya, if one is devoid of devotional service, then all the jati, shastra, japa, tapa, all the caste, high caste, all the penances that we perform, all of them are compared to what? All the good things, so-called good things of this world. Aprana seva dehasya, mandanam lokaranjanam. It is simply decoration of a dead body. It will only satisfy the senses of materialistic people. So these qualifications have value only when there is devotion. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Mam cho avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatite tan brahma bhuhaya kalpate. So only when we render devotional service one actually transcends the three modes. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives example of his American and Western disciples who because of their sincerity, he gives an example of one devotee who was so sincere that his mother, although he was just a new devotee, His mother became Krishna conscious because of him, and when she was dying, she inquired about Krishna. So she got perfection of life. So Srila Prabhupada says, so it doesn't matter, oh, it doesn't matter what background you have come from, who you are, but if you take shelter of Krishna now, that is, your life is all successful. Srila Prabhupada would be accused when he preached Krishna consciousness. He would be accused in India that he is giving Krishna consciousness to mlechas and yavanas. And once some of his very caste conscious god brothers, they accused Prabhupada of promoting yavanas and mlechas, and they refused to take prasadam because the prasadam was cooked by Prabhupada's disciples. Later on, when the same god brothers approached Prabhupada for donations for their mutt, Prabhupada asked them, so mlechas cooking you cannot accept, how can you accept their money? You know? So in India, this very highly, this system was there, very highly caste conscious, depriving others of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, when he saw Ramananda Rai in Kovur, he was filled with so much ecstasy, but he controlled himself because he saw that people would get bewildered. Because he was a sannyasi and a Brahmin, and Ramananda Rai was a lower caste, Shudra, but he was the governor of Madras province. So when they met, like two lovers seeing each other, they had so much love for Krishna. When Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw each other, they ran and they embraced. Eta sannyasera teja deki brahma sam Shudra alingya kone karena krandan. So why is this sannyasi Brahman embracing a Shudra and crying tears? That's what people were wondering when they saw. E mata vipragan bhava more man vijatiya loke deki prabhu kaile samarpan. So Mahaprabhu realized, oh, these people are getting bewildered. They are saying, why is he embracing a Shudra and crying? So vijatiya loke deki prabhu kaila samarpan. So Mahaprabhu controlled his ecstasy. Why? Because he saw vijatiya loke. He saw vijatiya. Vijatiya means those who are not of his jati. It's very interesting. Actually, sajatiya, because Mahaprabhu is Brahman, he is sannyasi, high caste. And all these people who saw him embracing Ramananda, they were all Brahmanas. So technically, if you see, it was sajatiya loke deki. But Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Lord Chaitanya considered them as vijatiya. Because they were discriminating. They were not understanding Ramananda Rai's exalted position. So Lord doesn't see your external qualification. Your jati he doesn't see. I was recently seeing one video, old video of Mahatma Prabhu. You know, he does this YouTube. There are many videos of Mahatma Prabhu on chanting. So one very sweet, you know, very special video. And there are question answers, live question answers happening. So he's saying, today we have a special guest who will also answer questions. And a small girl, 6-7-year-old girl, his daughter, Braja Sundari, so she comes. She has a typical childish mannerism, she is restless, you know. But when the questions are coming, so Mahatma Prabhu would turn to her and he would say, so, Braja Sundari, what do you have to say to this? And what amazing answers, Krishna conscious answers she was giving. Like somebody said, I'm finding it very difficult to chant 16 rounds. It's a struggle. So then he's turning to his daughter. What do you think, Braja Sundari? She is saying, even I don't chant, but I chanted once on Narasimha Chaturdashi day. So then our father is saying, so can you tell us your experience? So the whole conversation, you know, you can see that she is deeply ingrained Krishna consciousness at such a young age. And anybody would see that video, so much affection and love would be, you know, it would just be attracted from your heart. And you can get a glimpse of what it must have been, Prahlad Maharaj, that age, offering prayers. Of course, here our father is also, he's not Hiranyakashipu, he's also like Prahlad only. Such a, you know, and then when you see, and then, and when you see, externally if you see, for a caste conscious, a Brahmin or a Hindu, they are not qualified to practice devotional service because they are Westerners. But the devotion and the mood they have is exemplary. That's why Prahlad Maharaj, what was his mood? From childhood. Eta brahmatayo brahman swayam makarsha sannido tatame vidyate chetas chakrapanir yadrichaya. So he is telling Shanda and Amarka that just like an iron filing is attracted to a magnet spontaneously, I am spontaneously attracted to the Lord. Chakrapane Ridrucha, Atha Brahmetayo Brahman, Swayam Akarsha Sannido. So that was, Prahlad Maharaj was spontaneously attracted to Lord. So when children, especially when we see, you know, when I saw this video, of realizing when these devotees' children, they are spontaneously attracted, it's a cause for, you know, glorification, it's a cause for celebration. So now, Prahlad Maharaj has established in the first three prayers that one has to meditate on his disqualification, right? And then, how devotional service is glorious. Now, having spoken of devotional service is glorious, one may think, okay, I am practicing devotional service nicely. So are we doing something great by practicing devotional service? Are we doing the Lord a favor by practicing bhakti? Who is actually benefited by bhakti? So Prahlad Maharaj reveals that in the next verse. Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno. Manam janada vidusha karuno vrinite. Yadyajano bhagavate vidadita manam. Tachatmane pratimukasya yatha mukashri.
The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in Himself. Therefore, when something is offered to Him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated.
So here Prahlad is saying how if you want to decorate your face, you don't decorate the reflection in the mirror, but you decorate the face. Similarly, if we want to be happy, we serve Krishna, then we are also automatically happy. The mentality in the material world is exactly opposite. If something is good, it is meant for my enjoyment. But in Krishna consciousness, everything is for Krishna's pleasure. In material world, we take things for ourselves. Like, you know, when Prabhupada was in London, they were passing through British Museum. So devotee said, Prabhupada, this is the famous British Museum. But Prabhupada could not be impressed by these things. Prabhupada said, oh, British Museum means all stolen property. So what I like, I enjoy, take it. You know, so basically British conquered the whole world at one time. So they took everything. So this material world, the conception is my enjoyment. I want to enjoy. That's why once Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur told one person when they were serving prasadam, malpova was being served. So Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur told him, so you are enjoying the malpova or is the malpova enjoying you? He got bewildered. So in Krishna consciousness, the ideal situation what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching is everything is for Krishna. I am enjoyed by Krishna. So we may not be on that level, but at least we know when we are chanting Hare Krishna that we are not doing the Lord any favor. By chanting Hare Krishna, we are purifying our own hearts. Cheto darpana marjanam. The consciousness, my consciousness is getting purified. And bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. The blazing fire of material existence is getting extinguished. And as devotees advance, we've seen that devotees, they derive great joy when they glorify Krishna or when they celebrate festivals and they cook for Krishna. Like now we have this summer season. So when devotees apply chandan paste on Gopalji, devotees derive great joy. So summer, there is a lot of heat. But seeing the cooling sandalwood is cooling, but seeing it on Krishna's transcendental body, devotees feel relief from the pangs of material existence. This is the classic example of this verse which Prahlad is saying. That satisfying the Lord and you feel happy. Aho, aho, bir nakaler viduyate. Sudha sudara maduram pade pade. Dine dine chandana chandra sheetalam. Yasho yashoda tanayascha giyate. Aho, aho, bir. Wow, what a glorious thing we have. Sudha, Sudhara, Maduram, Pade, Pade. There is something more nectarian, more sweet than anything. What is that? Dine, Dine, Chandana, Chandra, Sheetalam. There are Chandan and Chandra. Chandan is also cooling, sandalwood. Chandra, moon is also cooling. But there is something more cooling. Chandan and Chandra, more cooling than moon and the sandalwood. Yasho, Yashodatanayascha Giyate. The glorification of Yashodatanay, the darling son of Mother Yashoda. So when devotees glorify Krishna, serve Krishna, apply sandalwood paste on his transcendental body, feed him, sing his glories. So glorification of Krishna brings joy to the devotee's heart also. The emotional void, the emotional vacuum which everyone in this world feels, that can eventually or in reality be filled only when we fill it with the hole in the heart has to be filled with the complete hole, W-H-O-L-E. And that is Krishna. Otherwise that vacuum will always remain. Because nobody can satisfy the heart completely. So a devotee connects to Krishna. All the activities we do are meant for our purification and for pleasure of Krishna. This is also a very important verse which we have chanted just now. Because, you know, as we get older, one common problem many times we face is we become very conscious of our needs and our facilities that we need. Which is not wrong in the sense a devotee needs certain basic things. But sometimes we become so preoccupied with what I need for my survival that we forget the goal of wanting to serve Krishna. So the goal is to serve Krishna, and whatever facilities we have is ultimately, whatever I need is ultimately to serve Krishna. So this verse reminds us of that goal, that whatever I need is for ultimately Krishna's service. So the first four verses we have taken now, which is where Prahlad Maharaj has established the principle of glorifying Krishna. And is also, after hearing all these verses of the importance of glorifying Krishna in the first four verses, a devotee or some of us may still be hesitating because of some self-imposed doubts, like maybe which is born because of false humility. We may not be really glorifying Krishna, or we may not be very attached to Krishna. So for some of us who are in that mood, the next verse assumes a lot of importance, where Prahlad Maharaj is taking a humble position and teaching us what should be our mood when we come in front of the Lord. So this is a very nice verse. Tasmadaham vigata viklava ishvarasya sarvatmanamai grinami yatha manisham nicho jaya guna visargamanu pravishtha Puye taye nahi pumananu varnitena.
Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories.
Here Prabhupada translates the first line, Tasmad aham vigata viklava. Vigata viklava means, Srila Prabhupada translates as, just this is amazing, giving up the conception of being unfit. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, my dear Lord, I am giving up the conception of being unqualified. And with all my endeavors, sarvatmana mahi grinami yata manisham, whatever intelligence and abilities I have, with all my endeavor and intelligence, I am going to glorify you. Not that I am going to keep meditating on how I am unqualified. Nicho jaya guna visargam anupravishta. Although I am fallen, but puyeta e nahi puman anuvarnitena. By glorifying you, I will get purified. So, this is a very important verse for devotees who need to be having positive thinking in life. Sometimes, once one devotee told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I am very fallen. What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, I know that, but what are you doing about it? So I am fallen, okay, but what are you doing about it? Generally, when a pure devotee says he is fallen, that expression of being fallen doesn't immobilize his devotional service. For some of us, when I say I am fallen, I am so fallen, Prabhu, I can't do this seva. Our devotional service is getting affected. So many times, I may feel I am fallen, but that could be frustrated false ego. Yes, I am fallen, but I will take shelter of Krishna. Bhumo salita padana bhumi reva valambanam. So when I fall on the ground, I take shelter of the ground to get up. So yes, I am making mistakes, I am struggling, I am fallen, but Krishna, where else I will go? I'll take shelter of you. Therefore, it's important that our lamentation and our repentance is not maya. It's important that we are not in, you know, it's important that it doesn't take us away from the present moment. You know, like we are chanting, we need to be in the present. We need to connect to Krishna. And we may foolishly give examples of Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying that he always said he's fallen. Amito kamer dasa, vishaya vasana, jagiche hridaye, phadiche karam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he's fallen. But when he was saying that, he was in ecstasy. You know, he was remembering Krishna. He was in bliss. But we may be miserable and because we are envious. So sometimes for devotees it is more practical, rather than condemning themselves as fallen, it's sometimes more practical to express appreciation and gratitude to Krishna. That's a more effective many times than, you know, simply condemning oneself. Because one may not actually mean, but when we are appreciating Krishna, then automatically appreciation of Krishna makes one humble, and one begins to see his own fallen condition. So therefore, you know, if you're not a pure devotee, no problem. Don't psych yourself up. You know, let us not work ourselves up so much that I want to become a pure devotee. No. Let us celebrate Krishna consciousness with gratitude. Let us glorify Krishna. Let us be detached from the fact that we are not a pure devotee and we may not be a pure devotee in the near future. Maybe next few days, I'm not going to be a pure devotee. So, of course, that doesn't mean we become shameless. The point is, we are running towards Krishna and some of us may slip. But what do? You don't sit and cry when you run and you fall on the ground and hurt your knee. You put the necessary balm and get up and again run towards Krishna. So we are all running towards Krishna. And let us run happily. And let us release all the negativity and let us chant with gratitude and joy. That's why one devotee once told me that, Prabhu, don't try to chant. You allow yourself to chant. It was a very deep point, you know. Sometimes I'm trying to chant means I'm really struggling. I'm thinking I'm fallen. I'm so worked up with my own ideas that I don't connect to the holy name. You know, I'm not with the holy name. So therefore, like just today is a festival, Narasimha Chaturdashi, but every day is a festival because every day we greet the deities. Every day we have Guru Puja. Every day we have Srimad Bhagavatam class. So let us appreciate. Let us be in the now. And this is what is bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yava nishchashmi tattvatah. Tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. In the Gita, Krishna says, one who does, only a devotee can come to me. Only when we are glorifying Krishna, only when we are happy. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks on this positive spirit of a devotee. He says, a devotee should feel what? He says, a devotee should feel, Krishna, I am very small, but you are very great. So Krishna, you are very great. This meditation is also very, very important. Once Sadhana Swami Maharaj was telling us, Dwarkadesh Prabhu asked a question. Maharaj, what is humility? What does it mean to be humble when I come in front of Krishna? What should I say by which I know that I am being humble? So Maharaj said, we tell Krishna, Krishna, I was nothing. I am nothing. I will be nothing. But you are everything. So that you are everything is equally, if not more important. You know, Krishna is everything. So we take shelter of Krishna. So we'll go to the next prayer. Sarve amividikara stava sattva damno.
Sarve amividikara stava sattva damno.
Brahmadayo vayamiveshana
chodvijantaha.
Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatare.
O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe.
So here, if you see in this prayer, Prahlad Maharaj is not forgetting his humble position. He is saying he is from a demoniac family. Consistently in these prayers you will see, he is always reminding himself in front of the Lord about his position. And at the same time he is declaring that God is all good. One may worry that, you know, he has come in this fierce form, he is killed, there is blood. No. He is saying this is wonderful. This is a wonderful pastime, he is reminding us. Because just like a child can see his father when the father puts on a mask and may appear very scary, but the child knows when he simply laughs. In the journey home we read this example of a dog. Dog can recognize its master when the master comes in different clothes. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord can recognize the Lord when the Lord comes in different forms. So in the form of Narasimhadev, Prahlad is able to recognize the Lord. He is able to appreciate the Lord. So like this, he is saying, my dear Lord, this incarnation is your pastime. And now I request you, now that you have come in this ferocious form, please give up your anger. This is the next verse.
Tadyaccha manyam asuraschya hatastvayadya. Modeta sadurapi vrischika sarpahatya. Lokascha nivrutimita pratiyanti sarve. Rupam Narasimha vibhayaya janasmaranti.
My Lord Narasimhadev, please, therefore, cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear.
So here again, Prahlad is revealing how Lord does anything, even his killing is all good.
Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam samapaya dapya sadavi leve gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamba dayalum sharanam rajema.
So in the Bhagavatam third canto we hear this verse that how Krishna, Putana came to kill Krishna, smearing her breast with poison. But Krishna, while sucking the milk out of her breast, he actually sucked her life force. But he also gave her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Dhatri. Kamba dayalum. So who is more merciful than Krishna? So even though there appears to be bloodshed, death, Hiranyakashipu's intestines, you know, have been removed by the Lord, but that is all glorious. He has been liberated. Even in the Mahabharata war, we hear Krishna was there and so many crores of soldiers were killed. But what of their destination?
Tateva chanye naraloka vira yadahave Krishna mukharavindam netre pibanto nayanabhiramam parthastraputa padamapurasya.
Tateva chanye naraloka vira. So many valorous soldiers were killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Edahave Krishna Mukharavindam. They died seeing Krishna's beautiful face. So what happened?
Netre pibanto nayanabhiramam.
So as they were dying, seeing Krishna's beautiful face, so in their eyes, they were drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty.
Parthastra puta padamapurasya.
So they were purified by Arjuna's arrows. And padam apurasya. And having seen Krishna, they went to the highest destination. So they were liberated. So Krishna is all good. One Srila Prabhupada was in Amritsar. One very big Sardar. He was Sardar Baldev Singh. He had a big mustache, tall, well-built, and he was a descendant of Maharaja Ranjit Singh. So he invited Prabhupada to his home. It was a very special place. Big trophies and tiger skins are all kept. And he was displaying all of it. And Prabhupada and his 8 disciples had gone. They were amazed to see the whole display. And Prabhupada, like a child, you know, he was very innocently appreciating everything. Oh, you killed this tiger. Oh, this is yours. Like that. You know. And he was also feeling very happy. And so then he showed one tiger skin. And Prabhupada said, "You killed this tiger?" He said, "Yes, Swamiji, this tiger was troubling all the villagers. I killed it. And I saved the villagers." Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good, very good." So then finally, when they were about to leave, this Sardarji told Prabhupada that, "Swamiji, you know, I have one worry that has been troubling me for a long time. That one astrologer told me that I was in the Mahabharata war in my last life. And, you know, but unfortunately I was in the side against the Pandavas. So I am very disturbed by that." So Prabhupada, you know how expert he was. He just dismissed the whole thing. He said, "Oh, don't worry. All those who died in that battlefield of Kurukshetra, they all went back to spiritual world. They were all delivered." So the way Prabhupada dismissed it, so this Sardari did not know whether he should feel relieved or whether he should feel disappointed, because Prabhupada did not give it any importance. And he just kept quiet, and Prabhupada smiled. And then they left the home. But it was a very interesting pastime where Prabhupada said, "Oh, everyone has gone back, whoever was there in that war." But externally, if you see what had happened, so many soldiers were killed. So this is Krishna's wonderful pastime. But if you see, it's a ferocious form. Now, we have not seen that form. Prahlad is there in front of the Lord. Lord Narasimha has appeared and he's killed Hiranyakashipu. What is that scene? What is the Lord's appearance? That he will describe in the next verse.
Naham bibe majitate ti bhaya nakasya. Jivarka netra brukuti rabaso gradam shrat. Antra sraja kshatajake shara shangu karnan. Nirada bita digibad aribin nakagrat.
My Lord, who is never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies.
What a fearful sight it must have been, you know? The Lord has removed the intestines from Hiranyakashipu, his body, put it on himself as a garland, and all his blood, and his nails, his ears, everything is being described by Prahlad. But he is saying, "Naham bibemi," but I am not afraid of this form. We see generally drama of, and we generally laugh. For us, it's all comedy. You know, once in one drama in a festival, Narasimha Chaturdashi, the evening they made, that they did that festival, Hiranyakashipu was killed, and Narasimha Dev forgot that drama, that he is supposed to remove the intestines. They had put some red ribbon or something, some paper thing was there. So Hiranyakashipu only had to remove it and give it. Because that was supposed to be one of the climax. So everyone laughed. So the drama is for us to laugh. But then one has to imagine what it must have been, you know, the intestines to be removed, the whole blood everywhere. But Prahlad is not afraid. Why? Srila Prabhupada reveals a beautiful point in the purport. Why Prahlad was not afraid? Although it is such a ferocious form. I'll read what Prabhupada writes. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not afraid of the lion. Second example. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish can swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Dushkritis, the devotees worship Him. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadish Hare. The devotees always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. Because devotee has taken shelter, so what an example, fish and an elephant. Elephant will be thrown away by the water, but not the fish, because fish has taken shelter. Once Brahmananda Prabhu was with Prabhupada and other disciples of Prabhupada. They were on the bank of an ocean. There was a huge crab on the shore. Srila Prabhupada told Brahmananda Prabhu. Brahmananda Prabhu is tall, well-built, huge. So he told Brahmananda Prabhu to go and catch that crab. So he tried to catch, but he struggled and the crab went inside the water and Brahmananda Prabhu fell and all the water was on him. He became very clumsy. And devotees laughed and Srila Prabhupada said, see, Brahmananda Prabhu is so big and the crab is so small, but he could not catch the crab because crab has taken shelter. That is a natural place for the crab, the ocean. Whereas, it is not for Brahmananda Prabhu. Similarly, for us, the ocean of devotional service, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is our natural shelter. So we may be crab, we may be tiny compared to Maya, which may be huge. Like in this analogy, Brahmananda Prabhu. But although we are tiny compared to Maya, but if we take shelter of the ocean of devotional service, we are protected. So that's why even this ferocious form, Prahlad Maharaj is not scared. Just like a child, when you see a child is in the mother's arms, the child is blissful and peaceful. The mother may be in anxiety. Sometimes when traveling in the local trains, we see, you know, it's crowded, and some mothers, we see they have a child. And the child is blissfully sleeping. Mother is in anxiety. But child is not disturbed. Child has taken complete shelter. So devotee takes shelter of Krishna. And Prahlad, from childhood, he was completely absorbed in Krishna. Nesta krida nako balo jadavattan manastaya Krishna graha gritaatma na veda jagadidrisham. So he was affected by what graha? Krishna graha gritaatma. People are generally afraid of Shani, Rahu, Ketu. But the most deadly graha is Krishna graha. So Prahlad Maharaj was affected by that graha. So he took shelter of Krishna from childhood. And that's why he was not interested in Nesta krida nako balo. He was not interested in all childish play. He was not interested in IPL and Bollywood. No. He was focused on Krishna. So he took shelter of Krishna from childhood. But now comes the most interesting part. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I am not afraid of this ferocious form of you, my dear Lord, but I am afraid. I have fear. What is Prahlad Maharaj afraid of? Although he is saying he is not afraid of Lord's ferocious form. What can be causing fear to Prahlad when the Lord's fearsome form is not causing him fear? That is in the next verse. Trishtosmaham kripanavat saladus sahogra. Samsara chakra kadanat grasatam pranita. Baddha svakarma birushattam atengri moolam. Prito pavarga sharanam vayase kadanu.
O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life?
Prahlad is saying, Trishtosmaham. Trishta means frightened. He is frightened about this material world. Srila Prabhupada said, one of the problems is our devotees are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. And one of Prabhupada's God brothers also told that, we are not sufficiently afraid of committing Vaishnava Prabh. So fear is healthy when we fear the material energy. Srila Prabhupada in the purport comments that being in the material world is certainly miserable, but most of us, we are not only in the material world, but we are put in the association of asuras. The place we work, we deal with atheistic men. So it is actually intolerable for devotees. And then people sometimes deride the Lord, saying that, why have I been put in such a miserable condition? So Prahlad Maharaj is reminding us, don't criticize the Lord. He is saying, Baddha swakarma bir ushattama tengri mulam. Swakarma bir. He takes responsibility for this situation by saying, it's my karma. It's my fault. You are not to be blamed that I have been put in a materialistic association. So here Prabhupada also reminds us that Prahlad is representing other conditioned souls, and he says that he has been put into the association of asuras because of the results of his own karma. So he is not blaming the Lord. So in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us that we need to make the kingdom of God, going back to Godhead, as our ambition. We cannot make this well of material world a comfortable place. We have to desire to go back. The purport ends with this statement by Srila Prabhupada. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home, back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is imploring us to be eager to go back to Krishna. Sometimes we, in an effort to make this world a comfortable place, we forget that we cannot make it comfortable. It's not that we should not try to do our service. We have a social responsibility, you know. So we have a responsibility. We do what is needful. But we know that at the end of the day, it is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. That's why Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, when Prabhupada was demanding and challenging Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur during their first meeting, that the country is in a state of emergency, a political change has to take place. He was so intensely arguing. And Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur said that Krishna consciousness is the emergency. You know, lack of Krishna consciousness is the only problem, and Krishna consciousness is the only solution. And Srila Prabhupada learned that lesson so well and so deep that in 1944, when the Second World War was at its peak and the independence struggle was at its peak, Srila Prabhupada wrote Back to Godhead, and he kept explaining how going back to Godhead is the most important goal that everyone should have. It was intense. And then 1966 is in America, and the most heated discussion at that time was the Vietnam War. And the young hippies were challenging Srila Prabhupada that, what is your say on the Vietnam War? Now, you should understand the background. At that time, young boys were being recruited, forced into the army. That was called as drafting. So they were forced to join the army against their wishes for a cause which none of the youth in America believed to be just. So everyone was angry about Vietnam War. And Srila Prabhupada is giving class on Bhagavad Gita, speaking about Krishna telling Arjuna to fight. And the war, even if you don't want to fight, but if Krishna says you should fight. So this topic disturbed the youth, because, you know, the issue that time was, war is bad, and we are being forced into war. And here Prabhupada is coolly speaking about Mahabharata. So many times the hippies would challenge. So do you think we should support the Vietnam War? Prabhupada would say, Vietnam War will be forgotten soon. It's a non-issue. Take shelter of Krishna. So then some of the hippies would feel that if Vietnam War is not important for you, then you are not relevant. But if you see now, if you see the actual time, in 2014, it's a non-issue. Prabhupada speaking from that vision, from the platform of pure devotional service. So while we carry out our responsibilities in this world, we also meditate on how at the end of the day, I have to be connected to Krishna and get out of this material world. That's what Prahlad is saying, that that samsara chakra kadanat grasatam pranita. In this world, one living entity is devouring another living entity. It's a nasty place. So now he explains in the next verse, why this world is a nasty place. You may say, but this world is nice. So let's see the analysis that Prahlad Maharaj offers to reveal how this world is not a great place, as we may be in illusion thinking. Yasmat priya priya viyoga sanyoga janma. Shokagnina sakalayo nishudayamana. Dukkaushadam tadapi dukkamataddiyaham. Bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam.
Sorry. O great one, O supreme lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service.
So he's saying, Bhuman brahmami vadame, vadame tavadasya yogam. Please instruct me how I can serve you. So here he's saying, dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkam ataddhyaham. The dukkha aushadi creates more dukkha than the aushadi, than the original dukkha. The solution creates a bigger problem than the original problem. In college we studied one model. It was called a Lewis model. So in Kenya they had some big famine in 1960s. So this man, he made some economic model, and he said, if you increase the wage rate in the city by 20%, then all the workforce that we need we will get from the villages, and they will all come to city, and then there will be employment, and then there will be lot of jobs, and money will flow, and there will be prosperity. And very good sounding. So the government of Kenya said, very good. So they bought this model. So they did as it was recommended. But what happened? When the wages increased in the city, instead of, they wanted 20% labor force. But when seeing that higher wage structure, what happened? Everyone came. The whole villages migrated to the city. So what happened? There was nobody to take care of the agriculture sector. And in city, the slums increased like anything. And the slums increase, the riots happened. So we had this whole chapter on the Lewis model. 2 pages was on the model and its advantages. And next 3 chapters was on its failure. And every economic model you study, it's always given that you should explain critical analysis of the economic model. Which means 1 page you write, what is the main tenets of the theory. And then next 7-8 pages you have to only write how it is, how it has failed. So this is material world. You know, solution. Dukkha aushadi creates bigger dukkha than the original problem. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, see, if an ordinary person would have said this, you know, we can understand that he's miserable. So he's saying like this. But Prabhupada reveals how Prahlad is not an ordinary person. He would have inherited his father's property, which means, which extended throughout the world. So Prahlad should not be saying that, you know, there is no pleasure in material world. Logically, he should be the happy one. But he is not inclined to accept material opulence. If you and I are not inclined to accept, that's no big deal because we don't have material opulence. But if somebody has, and he is saying it's useless. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, there can be no happiness in changing one's material conditions. For everywhere there is trouble and misery. Everywhere in the material world there is trouble and misery. And all material solutions create bigger trouble and bigger misery. And those who are preaching, you know, we get this experience. Some boys are miserable because they're not getting married. And some boys are miserable because they got married. And some are married, some people are married and then they are miserable. Some are happy, but they're miserable because of their in-laws. Some have good in-laws, but the husband is or wife is bad. So complications. And sometimes everything is nice, but then they are sad because no child. Sometimes child is also there, but the child is not obedient. Sometimes everything is nice, but the man has lost his job. So material world, if you see, everyone, nobody has got a perfect package. Otherwise, Prahlad Maharaj would be proved wrong. But what he said lakhs of years ago is so perfectly true. So this is the way material world is. Dukkha oshadam tadapi dukkha matadhyaham. So what is the solution? Bhuman brahmami vadame tavadasya yogam. Oh my dear Lord, you please instruct me how I should engage in devotional service. Because, you know, we are subconsciously attached to our position in this material world. We are holding on to it, so we are miserable. Once we let go internally and get connected to Krishna, then we are blissful. There was a movie many years ago. One man was struggling to, because he had two pieces of land, Do Biga Zameen. This is the Bimal Roy's film. Instructive here. So this man, the whole movie is about how this man is struggling to get his Do Biga Zameen from the landlord, feudal landlords in Bengal. So poor fellow is struggling and goes to court, so many people, he doesn't get his land. Really suffering like anything. So at the end of the movie, the climax, you know, the final struggle goes on, final struggle, and his whole movie is miserable only. And he's crying, lamenting, fighting for that Do Biga Zameen. And finally, at the end of the movie, he loses that last case, that landlord. This typical British feudal system movie that made on that time, you know, 1950s they had made it, depicting the era before that. So the last scene, he loses that case. He loses all that, whatever little two pieces of land. And then the last scene of the movie is he smiles. He starts laughing. And he starts becoming happy. And then the movie ends, he is very happy. Why? Because the concluding statement is, he says, earlier I was fighting for two pieces of land, Do Biga Zameen. And I didn't get it. But now the whole earth is my land. Now the whole earth belongs to me. And that's how the movie leaves you, wondering that when he had two pieces of land, or he thought it was his, he was miserable. Now when he had nothing, he was happy because everything belonged to him, because everything belonged to God. So basically that's our situation. Because we are holding on, we have our own Do Biga Zameen, you know. So that causes anxiety, that we hold on to it constantly, that is increasing our anxiety. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, what is the hope? If the Dukkha Aushadi is going to give more Dukkha, what is the hope? And now the hope, which is the most important part of today's verses, which is one of the most important verses of this section, is now. This is the solution Prahlad Maharaj is now offering for all of us who want to be happy practicing Krishna consciousness. Soham priyasya suhurda paradevataya. Leela kata stavanarasimha virinchi gita. Anjastitar manugranan guna vipramukto. Durga nite padayuga layaham sasanga.
O my Lord Narasimhadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience.
So how does he, what does he say here? I want the association of devotees. Hamsa Sangha, association of swan-like devotees. And what will I do in that association? Leela Kata Stavanarasimha Virincha Gita. I am going to glorify your pastimes in the association of devotees. And how am I going to practice this process? Am I going to invent my own process? No. Virincha Gita, what has been given by Brahmaji and the Parampara, I am going to follow that. So Prahlad Maharaj's aspiration, even as the Supreme Lord is standing in front of him, he is aspiring to have association of devotees. Parikshit Maharaj was also destined to go, it was clear that he is going back home, back to the spiritual world, because he had seen Krishna right in the womb of his mother. And he was a pure devotee. But even as he is leaving this world, he is aspiring for association of devotees. Punascha bhuyat bhagavati anante prati prasangascha tadashrayeshu mahatsuyamyam upayami srishtim maitrastu sarvatra namo dvijebhya. He is telling the sages that even if I were to take birth again, please grant me three things. Rati prasangas, give me attachment to Krishna. Tad ashrayeshu, give me shelter of association of devotees. And maitrastu, compassion towards other living entities. So Parikshit Maharaj, even as he is preparing to go back home, back to Godhead, he is saying, he is expressing gratitude and an aspiration to be in the association of devotees. Dhruv Maharaj, when Lord Vishnu has appeared in front of Dhruv Maharaj and Lord Vishnu has blessed Dhruva and Dhruva is offering beautiful prayers, he has done such severe penances, he has performed such intense devotional service and Lord has appeared and he is asking for what? Punascha bhuyat bhagavati anante. Sorry, that is the Parikshit Maharaj verse. Dhruva Maharaj is saying, Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvaime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam enanja solbanamuru vyasanam bhavabdim neshe bhavad gunakatam ritapanamatta. I want to go mad. He is saying, panamatta, I want to drink the nectar of your pastimes and go mad in the association of devotees. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam, I want to be where bhakti is flowing. Where? Tvaime prasango. Prasango, Prabhupada translates prasango as intimate association of devotees. So Dhruva Maharaj's aspiration is that I want intimate association of devotees because there enanja sol banam uru vesanam bhavabdim. This bhavabdim, this material world which is so deadly, ferocious, nasty, is using many adjectives to describe this material world. He says, I will feel happy, I will feel relieved in that association of devotees. And here also Prahlad Maharaj, same mood, that my dear Lord, give me association of devotees, like devotees who are following the parampara of Brahma, Brahmaji. Prahlad Maharaj could have started his own parampara because he actually saw the Lord directly. But he wants to be servant, he wants to be in the association of devotees. And what is the solution he is giving? Leela Kata Astava Narasimha, hearing and chanting, glorifying Krishna. So simple, such a simple solution. Come together, glorify Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. But we have such complicated brains that this simple solution, we mess it up. Our Akinchan Krishna Prabhu gave a nice example one day that how when they were doing engineering, sometimes in the question paper they would have a very simple question. But because, you know, these engineering students, sometimes they are very intelligent, too sharp. So the students would think that, yeah, itna easy kaise ho sakta? There must be some catch. So they would not attempt that question, or they would think we'll do it later. There's some trick here. And they would spend their time solving the most complicated sums. And in the end, when they would come back out of the examination hall, some of the other students would discuss. And then they would realize, oh, this was a throwaway question. Such a simple question. We lost it. So if you see Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, everyone in the Bhagavatam is saying, come together, hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, chant Krishna's names, and we complicate. We are trying to figure out this person, why is he not doing like this, why is he doing like that. There is no end to solving interpersonal conflicts. There is no end to solving issues. You know, in the Hitopadesha there is a story which reveals how, you know, you can never figure out the whole world. So no point, better give up all of that and just chant Hare Krishna. The story about one boy who was captured by a crocodile. One crocodile was captured in a net. And this crocodile was telling this boy, please, the crocodile saw one boy going. He said, please help me, please save me. So the boy said, oh, if I release the net, you will eat me only. The crocodile said, no, how will I do that? You will save my life, no? I will not do like that. Please save me. So the boy removed the net. So as he was removing the net, when he removed almost the half, the crocodile's jaws immediately grabbed the boy's legs. And the boy said, nonsense, you told me to help you, so I'm helping you, and now you are eating me? How can you do this? You are so ungrateful. So the crocodile said, that's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. So the boy said, see, I don't mind being eaten by you, but I don't like this philosophy. I don't agree with this philosophy. I want to prove this philosophy is wrong. That's not the way the world is. That's not the way the people are. The world is nice. The people are grateful. So crocodile said, sorry, that's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. So he began to eat the boy. So the boy said, wait, before you eat me, I want to prove that your theory is wrong. So he looked at some birds who were in the nest above. He said, oh birds, do you agree with me or with this crocodile? Please prove this crocodile wrong. Support my statement. So the bird said, you know, we make nests and we hatch our eggs, but the snake comes and eats away all our eggs. So we are helpless. Actually, what the crocodile is saying is true. That's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. We are helpless. So then, no, the boy kept saying, no, this is wrong philosophy. I don't agree with this. Somebody support me. Then he saw one donkey. He said, oh, my dear donkey, you at least agree with me. The donkey said, you know, I work hard. Whole life I served my master. Now I'm old. My master has kicked me out. That's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. For the boy was not giving up. He said, and the crocodile kept smiling. He said, yes, I'm being proved right. So the boy then looked at one rabbit. He said, oh rabbit, help me. Rabbit said, yes, I agree with you. That's not the way the world is. The crocodile got angry. He said, how dare you say that? But the crocodile could not speak properly because his mouth was on the boy's legs. So the rabbit said, see, you want to discuss philosophy and debate with me, debate properly. The crocodile said, if I speak clearly, the boy will run away. The rabbit said, no, you don't have faith in your tail. Crocodile's tails are so powerful. If he runs away, you hit him with the tail, he will fall dead immediately. So you discuss with me and debate and I want to defeat you. So the crocodile got confidence after the rabbit told like this. So the crocodile started debating. How? That's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. Rabbit said, no, it's not the way like that. So the boy meanwhile released his leg and the rabbit shouted, oh boy, run away, escape. So the boy immediately took to his heels and the crocodile tried to remove his tail. But what happened? Half the body was still under the net. And the crocodile realized that he cannot. He is trapped and the boy ran away. And the rabbit smiled at the crocodile and said, that's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. But then what happened? So the boy ran to the village and told his villagers that this crocodile had tried to eat me. So the villagers said, acha, let us all go. They all took their sticks and they saw the crocodile was still in the half the net. So they bet the crocodile to death. And that time as the boy was seeing all the villagers beat the crocodile, the one dog had also come with them. And the dog saw the rabbit. And the dog started chasing the rabbit. And the boy looked at the dog and said, no, wait, that rabbit saved my life. But before the boy could stop, the dog had pounced on the rabbit and killed him. And the boy became very sad. He sat on the ground crying and he said, what the crocodile said was right. That's the way the world is. That's the way the people are. So why did you tell this story? That's the way the world is. Yes, we can't really figure out why what is happening. Or what Prahlad Maharaj said few verses before. But the swakarma bir ushattamate ingri moolam. Our karmas are so complicated. You try to figure out everyone, you'll be miserable. So therefore, what do we do? Association of devotees. And what do we do in that association? Hear and chant. And go back home, back to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj reveals this complicated mess of this material world in the next verse. But before we chant the next verse, there is an announcement. Mayapur Narasimha Dev special darshan of Gopalji will open at around 10:30 a.m. with special sound effects. So please continue the class after the darshan and ask devotees to wait. So if you are planning to go now, wait, because there is some special darshan coming up in 10 minutes. So now we are going to hear a prayer from Prahlad Maharaj where he explains how this world is.
Balasya neha sharanam pitarau narsimha. Nartasya chagada mudanvati majjato nau. Taptasya tat prativedirya yanja seshthas. Tavad vibho tanubhritam tvadupekshitanam.
My Lord Narasimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man.
Prahlad Maharaj is revealing a very sad reality that we are pawns, we are tiny, we are insignificant. One very famous actress, she was a multi-billionaire, her mother had some brain tumor, so they treated her in the best hospital in America. And they did a brain surgery to remove the tumor. And after the surgery, immediately she died. Why? Because the tumor was in the left brain and they operated her on the right brain. So if Krishna doesn't sanction, mistakes can happen at top level. And one's life, one could die, even being treated by the best doctors, one could be in the best hospital with the best medicines. But Prahlad Maharaj is revealing our utter helpless condition. And how nasty it is, one devotee's father, he had cancer, but he was externally healthy, and the doctors told the devotee, Prabhu, your father, maximum 3 months, max. But he said, but he's walking, talking, he has a pain. The doctor said, don't tell him he has cancer, when he's really miserable, that time you reveal. So his father thought he's going to get cured. So he would be in great, he would get up in the morning, he would sleep in the night thinking that next day he's going to improve, because that's what he thought, I'm improving now. And morning, the pain would increase. And he would ask his children, why the pain is increasing? So they would not know how to tell him. So he is having hope against hope. Of course, eventually, he left his body, devotee chanting Hare Krishna, but it's utter helplessness in this material world. It doesn't work the way we want it to work. That's why 2 days back I was talking to one devotee who was doing very important service in our community. He was telling me, Prabhu, this counselor system, this devotee sangha which we have, this is such a great benediction. I feel so relieved. He was saying how in his society where he's staying, there was a lot of complications, and they cheated him of some money, and the dealer, they bought the house, something, a lot of complications he was telling me. And he was telling me, when all these things happen, how people are, it's a dog-eat-dog world, I feel the devotee association is the only relief. So this is so important. Now one may say, but are devotees exception to this? Don't accidents happen to them? What example is he giving? Balasya neha sharanam. A child cannot be protected by parents. A ship cannot be protected in the ocean. All these things. But is it that devotees don't go through this? Devotees also go through these miseries of material world. But the advantage is, we have Krishna on our side. Like Ratnaranjani Mataji, when she was leaving her body some years ago, she was from Scotland. So she had also some complication in her cancer, some brain problem. And she would get fits. And she would literally be, thrown out of the bed. That was the pain, intensity of the pain. And the doctors had said that any of the fit could be her last fit. The pain would be so intense that she could die any of those fits. So every 2-3 hours she would get those fits. And devotees would be surrounding her and chanting. And as a fit would start, devotees would be chanting intensely, and she would scream, and literally, it would appear as if she's dying. And when she would just fall unconscious, and the pain would go, just falling unconscious, she would say, thank you, Krishna. And then she would be unconscious for some time. And then again, after some time, she would be back in consciousness. And again, after 2 hours, again intense pain. And just before falling down unconscious, she would say, Krishna, thank you. So after a few days, devotees asked her, how are you able to thank Krishna? She said, before the next fit was about to attack, and she said, you know, I'm so grateful for this, because in that peak of that pain, I'm able to see Radha Shamsundar so clearly. And because of this vision, I feel it's worth going through that fit again. And that's why just before falling unconscious, I'm thanking Krishna. So if you see externally, she is going through the same misery as somebody else who's going through cancer or brain tumor. But see how Krishna protects. So Ratnaranjani Mataji is not the only one. So many devotees we have, so many stories. So therefore we have hope as compared to a non-devotee. Although all this applies for us also, but we have Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada in the purport of this verse, he says that although as a matter of duty, one must accept remedial measures in the material world. I will repeat, otherwise we could be easily quoted out of context. Although as a matter of duty, one must accept remedial measures, but one should know that one cannot be protected if one is neglected by Krishna. And then Prahlad Maharaj continues to offer. We'll chant one more verse and then wait for the darshan. Yasmin yato yariye nachayasya asmad. Yasme yata yadutayastva aparaha parovad. Bhava karoti vikaroti pratak svabhava. Sanchoditas tadakhilam bhavata swarupam.
My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy, the cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you.
Here Prahlad is revealing how, whether it is Brahma or an insignificant ant, they are all controlled by the three modes. These three modes are all pervading. You just walk on the street, you will see goodness, passion, ignorance. These three modes are constantly there all the time in this material world. If early morning you go to see a sunrise on the beach, you will feel mode of goodness, the sun is rising. And just one glance at the side, you will see all the crows and the muck and the garbage. You can feel mode of ignorance engulfing your consciousness. And then you look back at the highway, Marine Drive, you can see the car zooming past, and you know it's passion. So these three constantly, go to forest, go to hanging garden, you'll see beautiful birds flying, chirping, fragrant breeze, flowers, mode of goodness. And then suddenly on the side you will see a young couple, public display of affection. So you know that mode of passion. And then you look at all the garbage and the dirt, you see mode of ignorance. So it's all three constantly, this is material world, constantly these three are engulfing, attacking our consciousness. So this is how helpless we are. So what do we do? Srila Prabhupada reveals in the purport, a devotee simply remembers Krishna. Matta smritir jnanam aponam. He prays to Krishna that, Krishna, you are there in my heart as the super soul. Please help me remember you. So this is our hope. Yat anudyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat kataratim. We are helpless against the modes, but anudya asina, asina means sword. But the sword of remembrance of Krishna is what can help us save from the three modes. This is a very important point. So it's not that Maya will not attack us. It's not that we are not going to be attacked by lust and greed and envy. But when we remember Krishna, that remembrance of Krishna fills the heart with certain kind of pleasure, with certain kind of satisfaction. That turning to Krishna gives some relief, some joy, some happiness. And that gives the strength to the devotee to say no as the motes pull him. So this ultimately our strength to survive against the onslaught of material energy comes from remembrance of Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj is the best example for remembering Krishna. Because out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, there are examples for each who embody each of these 9. And Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna, is embodied by Prahlad. Shravanam, Parikshit Maharaj. Kirtanam, Sukhdev Goswami. Padasevanam, Lakshmiji. Smaranam, Prahlad. And we are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. What is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Rules and regulations. And what is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Essence of all rules and regulations? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. We are following 64 items of devotional service. The essence is always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us that if we remember Krishna, we can say no. We will be able to say no to the 3 modes. And therefore, as we remember Krishna, what do we do? It's not some mental adjustment. Okay, now I'm going to remember Krishna. Now, remembering Krishna means offering loving feelings to Krishna. Basically, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti has to come into our lives. From Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, the difference is, in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we are practicing rules and regulations, but we are motivated by some unknown fear. I have to chant 16 rounds because I've taken a vow. That's good, that's healthy. But eventually we chant 16 rounds because we love Krishna. We want to love Krishna. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is also following rules and regulations. We follow all the rules and regulations, but we follow them with love. Otherwise, Hare Krishna, the process of devotional service can be very stressful. Like, you know, if somebody asks you, I'll end with this before the darshan opens. Simple question. Why do you chant Hare Krishna? So, generally we give a response. We chant Hare Krishna because it is a Kali Yuga Dharma. We chant Hare Krishna because we know so many verses to answer this question. Why do you chant Hare Krishna? But this is generally a public response. Now, there is also a private response to this question. Why am I chanting Hare Krishna? Now, we have to ask this honestly. Why am I chanting 16 rounds every day? Is there some fear? Why am I chanting Hare Krishna? So, that private response to this question actually determines how advanced we are. So if I'm actually wanting to love Krishna, if I actually want to serve Krishna, if I actually want to please Krishna, if that is the mood in which I'm remembering Krishna and following the process of devotional service, then we are safe. Then we are freed from the influence of the 3 modes. But now question may arise that I want to serve Krishna, I want to remember Krishna, but it seems impossible. Why is remembering Krishna impossible? That Prahlad Maharaj will answer in the next verse, which we will take after the special darshan. Hare Krishna. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan. Jai Prahlad Maharaj ki.